Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network. Joining us is Rinky Noonan Law Firm attorney Kale Van Bruggen, here to talk a little bit about WOTUS. EPA came out with their new ruling or finalized rule here. Give us some of the background there and what that now looks like.
Thanks, Whitney. So the agency had to issue an amendment to the Waters of the United States rule that it issued earlier in the year in light of a really important Supreme Court case that just came out, the Sackett case. The problem for the agency is that in that Supreme Court case ruling, the court held that one of the tests that the agency announced it was going to use in order to regulate certain wetlands and streams violated the Clean Water Act and could not be enforced. So the agency has taken a somewhat unusual step and issued an amendment without taking any notice or comment on it, striking from its previously announced final rule what's known as the significant nexus test. It's a big deal, especially for the regulated community, because it greatly reduces the number of wetlands and even potentially some of the intermittent tributaries and streams that the agency can claim jurisdiction over under the Clean Water Act.
So clarity was a concern for those in agriculture especially, but did this really clarify things? Did it help that problem at all?
It certainly has added to the clarity. The significant nexus test that's now no longer going to be used was pretty amorphous. It looked at a variety of factors that could be hard to predict, hard to measure. It wasn't easy to apply, certainly on your own, without hiring attorneys or technical consultants. Even the boots-on-the-ground agency officials had a hard time administering it. And so in that regard, the test is now a more bright-line, physical, continuous connection between wetlands and navigable waters in order for the agencies to have Clean Water Act jurisdiction. I think there is still some question that was raised by the Supreme Court in the Sackett case about the relative permanency that's required for some tributaries in order to be subject to the Clean Water Act. And in the amended rule that just came out, it does not appear that the agencies addressed that head on. They did not make any changes in regards to what does it mean for a tributary to be relatively permanent. Is that a percent of the year with continuous flow, a duration of flow? So that's still unclear, and I think we're going to continue to see some litigation around that issue moving forward.
And that was going to be my next question here, was do you see future issues arising still?
I believe that we will. And in regard to, I think, even some wetlands, but maybe less than we anticipated before this Sackett decision came out and before the amended rule. But I think now we're going to see a shift towards concern about have the agencies been grabbing too many intermittent tributaries that don't have a significant enough level flow year-round in order to be subject to the Clean Water Act. And as you know, some states have the current version of the rule in litigation now. There's an injunction in some states that prevents that version of the rule from being enforced. And so I think we'll see that litigation continue to go forward and the regulated community and the agencies asking for a court ruling about those aspects of the rule that I think remain unsettled even after Sackett and the new amendment.
So if there are, so as those rulings, I guess, come through, is there potential that there will need to be more changes in the future then?
Yes, that definitely could be. The last several administrations have attempted to tackle this issue, but none of them successfully without litigation. And so if we look to the past as guidance of what might happen in the future, we could expect out of the litigation some additional rulings from the federal courts on what aspects of the final rule are allowed under the Clean Water Act and which ones are not. We might see the rule remanded back to the agency for a redo on certain aspects. So definitely the farming community, the rest of the regulated community will be watching that litigation closely to see what comes next.
Any other details from the new rule, potential cases upcoming that we should be aware of before we let you go?
Well, I think I'll just mention, Whitney, because I get the question often, you know, what does this mean, particularly in Minnesota? And I think it's important for landowners, land improvement contractors, and farmers to remember in Minnesota there are multiple agencies and layers of state and federal law that regulate wetlands. And so I think in this state in particular, we might not yet feel much different when it comes to the regulation of wetlands. Folks need to keep in mind that there are still the wetland conservation provisions enforced by the Natural Resources Conservation Service under the Farm Bill. We still have a Wetland Conservation Act law on the state level that protects certain wetlands. And we also on the state level have the public waters wetlands inventory protecting those wetlands as well. So I think folks in Minnesota might not see much change in terms of wetland regulation just because of the other federal and state laws that we have here. But I think in some of our neighboring states where there are less state and federal protections, those folks in those states might see some change in terms of what's regulated and what's not regulated as a result of this.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the information and the clarification there. Again, Cale Van Bruggen joining us here on the Red River Farm Network.